are Galatians 3, verses 1 to 9. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the man of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we just sang the prayer, Speak, O Lord. And we ask that you would now speak. Lord, use my trembling lips as I try to speak your word to your people, Lord. We pray that everything I say would be true and useful for the upbuilding of your church. We ask that those among us who are not born again would be born again by the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, that your people would be strengthened, that we would better understand, Lord, how it is that we can stand before a holy God and live. Amen. You may be seated. If you were asked to summarize the message of the Bible or the message of Christianity, hopefully that's the same. If you were asked to summarize it in a sentence or so, how would you do it? Now, my guess is the average person in, let's say in Canada, just average person on the street, wherever, they would probably say something like this. Christianity is about doing your best, trying to be nice to people, and to hope that you get there. Yes, Jesus can help you to do those things. He's a useful tool in the toolbox of good works. But at the end of the day, the Bible is a book of rules to follow so that if we do as best as we can, maybe we'll be okay in the end. Or if there is no end, to some people, we'll just be good citizens, something like this. Now, this is obviously, even at the surface level, not the message of the Bible. When Paul is speaking to the Christians in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I told you what's of first importance. And he says, it's the gospel message, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Paul says that's of central importance. Everything in the Bible is about that. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners so that we can be reconciled to God through faith in him. But unless God gives us eyes to see that, we're not going to read the Bible that way. We're going to read the Bible as a rule book. Unless we have eyes to see the gospel, we're going to miss the big picture. We're going to focus on the laws, and we're going to see that as a means of being saved. And that's what was happening in the book of Galatians. These Judaizers were coming in. They were people from a Jewish background. Some of them had embraced Christianity to a certain extent. They didn't seem to understand it fully. But they were preaching a false gospel, not because they had never read the Old Testament, but because they didn't understand it. They weren't reading it rightly. They didn't understand that the central message of the Bible was that God is on a mission to save sinners from every nation through the family of Abraham. Instead, they believed the blessing of God would come through the physical descent of Abraham only, or to those joined through circumcision, and it was to be received by the law, not by a promise. So it's a fundamental misunderstanding of how the Old Testament works. Now, in some ways, it's not surprising that they would see that the promise is going to come only through the physical descendants of Abraham, and only to the physical descendants of Abraham. Last week, if you're here, I read Isaiah 41, verse 10, as part of my prayer that I prayed. And there are some spectacular promises here. You know this verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What could be more glorious than those promises? Who are they for? Do you know? I'm going to read verses 8 to 9, just right before that. This is what God says. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. And there is the promises. Fear not, for I am with you. So who is the promise for? It's for the offspring of Abraham. So a surface reading of the Old Testament would lead many, including many Christians today, to say this promise isn't for me. This is for Israel. This is for the genetic descendants of Abraham, who we'd call the Jews today. The Judaizers in Galatia would have said, this promise is for the physical descendants of Abraham and those who become Jews through circumcision. You have to become a Jew. You have to become a descendant of Israel by keeping the Mosaic law to become part of these promises. And so I want to ask you, are these promises for you? Can you read Isaiah 41:10 and say, that's for me? Can you put your name in there? I don't think any of us, maybe there are some, come from Abraham by physical descent. I don't. Most of us don't. Can we read our names in there? You, Mark, are my servant. Can I read it like that? Be not dismayed, Mark, for I am your God. Is that for me? I can trace my genealogy back to like Klaus Reimer in Russia, but not to Abraham. And if I'm not sure that these promises are for me, if I don't know, I'm going to have a hard time with my Old Testament. Be honest. A lot of it's about Israel, but the promises to the descendants of Abraham, are those for me? This is one of the problems with the Judaizers. They said the Gentiles had to become Jews to get the promise. And if we're not Jews, are they for us? We'll answer that. A second problem they had is they believed the way to become children of Abraham was by works of the law. When the Jews looked back at the life of Abraham, the central focus of what they saw was the works that he did, the obedience he did. This is one example from Jewish writing in this period. It's called 1 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 52. It's not the scriptures, but it's helpful to understand how they thought at the time. This is what it says. Was not Abraham found faithful when tested? And it was counted to him as righteousness. So his faithfulness, his obedience was counted as righteousness. That's justification by his deeds, right? Paul says kind of the opposite, doesn't he? He says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, when these Judaizers and many today, we read the Old Testament, they didn't see a gospel of grace to be received by faith. They saw instead a religion of works by which they would be counted righteous before God. Do this and live. That was the dominant Jewish religion of Paul's day. And you know what? Things haven't changed much. People read the New Testament the same way today, don't they? Do this, do this, do this, the end, spiritual life. That is prominent. Many of the 12-step programs are literally exactly that. Here's some principles to do. Follow these things. It doesn't matter what God you believe in, as long as you think he's going to help you, do these works. And then once you're done the steps, the result is, and I quote, spiritual awakening. You do the things, spiritual life comes at the end of it. And of course, all the steps are in some senses based on biblical commands. But they miss the gospel. Because the gospel is not that God helps us to save ourselves by topping up our righteousness a little, but that God has announced salvation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that we receive it by faith alone. And so we want to remind ourselves this morning, Christianity is not a message of doing our best and having God top us up. Instead, it's about believing in the salvation that God has achieved by faith in Christ. So we want to look at two truths from the life of Abraham that Paul reminds us of. First, we are sons of Abraham through faith. Second, we receive the blessing of Abraham through faith. So first, we're sons of Abraham through faith. Now in the text we read, verses 1 to 5, Paul has been arguing that we did not and do not and will not experience the powerful presence of God by works of the law, but through hearing with faith. That's how God works miracles among you, he says, is by hearing with faith. Now in verse 6, Paul transitions to the example of Abraham. And I don't think we could exaggerate how much Abraham means to the Jewish people back in Paul's day. We could not overestimate what he means to them. What happened to Abraham is what's going to happen to them. So if Abraham is justified by works, the Gentiles will be justified by works, and the Jews will be justified by works. If Abraham is justified by faith, then so will we. This is how they thought about Abraham, and they're actually right about that. And remember, when the Jews thought about Abraham, they thought about his works, right? Was not Abraham faithful when tested? Was not he obedient? This was the summary of his life, was he did it. He did the works that God called him to do. But Paul doesn't summarize Abraham's life in that way, does he? He goes to Genesis 15:6, and he quotes there, where it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, I want to remind us of the story in Genesis 15:6. We actually looked at this a few months ago now, maybe a year, I don't know. But what's happening in the story is Abraham has these promises, and he's wondering, how are these going to happen? He says, I don't have a son, and Eliezer, my servant, is going to be the heir. How are these promises going to work out? So let's go to Genesis 15, verses 4 to 6. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man, that's Eliezer, shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven, number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So this is Abraham. This is his life. He's with God. He's at night. God's word comes to him, gives him a promise to believe. There's nothing for Abraham to do, right? He's just there in the night. There's no command, do this, do that. Abraham was only to believe, and he does. And God tells us his faith was counted as righteousness. Not his faith was his righteousness, that, oh, he believed, therefore he merited salvation. No, but his faith was counted as righteousness. See, the righteousness of God was imputed to him, given to him as a gift through faith. And for Paul, this is the center of Abraham's life. Genesis 15:6 is the center of Abraham's life. He is fundamentally someone who believed God, even before his obedience, which is important. In Romans 4, Paul is talking about Abraham and how God justified him. And he talks about the God who justifies the ungodly. And just notice for the first time this week how offensive that would be to the Jews of his day. Calling Abraham an ungodly man and saying God justifies the ungodly in Abraham. Now he obeyed, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. But it was not because of his godliness that God accepted him, but because of his faith. He trusted the words of God. And in the New Testament, even when Abraham's obedience is held up as an example, it's still an example of faith. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go. So he did something, but by faith. Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. This passage here, Genesis 15:6, is quoted again and again in the New Testament. This is so important. Abraham believed God and is credited to him as righteousness. We find it in Romans 4, verses 2 to 3. And if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Again, Paul says, not even Abraham can boast in his works. He has nothing to boast about before God because he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That is controversial for the Jewish people at the time who said, Abraham is righteous because he kept the law of Moses, which came later, you may notice. But that's why Abraham's righteous, because he kept the law. Paul says, no, it's because he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's controversial then, it's controversial today, because we so desperately want to make our righteousness about ourselves. This is not something that's unique to the Jewish people of the first century. This is a human nature thing. We crave to own our own righteousness. And so it's controversial when we're told, you can't. Abraham couldn't, you can't. Now, it's interesting to note that James quotes this as well. In James chapter 2, verses 22 to 23, he's in the middle of an argument in that section that says, if you don't have good works in your life, you're not even going to be saved. And what does he actually say here? This is what it says. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So even James, who focuses so much on our obedience, he doesn't say Abraham was saved by his works. He says, instead, the faith that justified him produced in him a life of obedience. That the faith lives. James isn't saying that faith alone doesn't justify. He's saying dead faith doesn't justify. A false faith doesn't justify. Only true faith saves. Only living faith saves. So if someone says, oh yeah, you know, I have faith, makes no difference in their life, James and the rest of the Bible says, you don't have faith. It's not what faith is. So this is Paul's argument to the Galatians, to us. If Abraham was declared righteous by his faith, not by his works, not by circumcision, then we also will be justified by faith. It's a simple argument from the life of Abraham. I want us to notice here, it doesn't say Abraham believed in God. You see that? Just that he existed. Sometimes we can make that the measure of faith, right? Well, yeah, this person doesn't really believe in the gospel. They don't believe Jesus died for their sins. But they believe in God, that God exists. They're probably still Christians, right? No. Romans 1 says everyone believes in God. And many suppress that belief, but they still believe it. Adam and Eve believed in God, right? But they didn't believe God. They said that God, well, the serpent said, did God really say? And they said, I guess not. They didn't believe God. That was their sin. But they believed in God. But faith believes God. I want us to see that distinction. God has spoken to us in his word. He said things. Do we believe him when he speaks? Do we believe his words are true? Bible study this week, we were going through the Lord's Prayer, but we touched on James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. That's what it says. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So God wants us to believe something, right? Namely, the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. We don't believe that naturally. Testing of faith means suffering. When we are in suffering, our natural inclination will be, this is bad for me. I need to escape this. This is bad. It's not doing something good. But God says, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Trials produce steadfastness. And I wrestled with that this week. I asked myself, do I actually believe that? Do I believe that the trial that I was in that day, each day has its own trials, is this producing good in me? You know, in my Bible, these words are written on page 1547 in black and white. They're just written there. Do I believe them? That's a question I had to ask. Belief will lead to action, won't it? We don't say Abraham's faith made his obedience unnecessary or pointless. No, his obedience was an acted out faith. But it wasn't just works of the law. It wasn't just, here's the law, do it. It was, I trust God. therefore I will walk in his steps. Totally different thing. All right, Paul goes on here in verse 7, Galatians 3, verse 7. He applies this to us today. He says, "Know then, it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." This is a great New Testament truth that the Jews of the day and the Gentiles of the day really had a hard time understanding. And almost any book of the New Testament, you'll find this addressed. Those of faith are the sons of Abraham. Uncircumcised Gentiles are the children of Abraham through faith in Christ. We don't need to embrace the law of Moses to become the people of God. We just need to believe the same God that Abraham believed. And if you believe and trust the God of the Bible, then you're sons of Abraham by faith. Now remember our Isaiah 41:10, right? I'll strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand, made to the offspring of Abraham. And so let me ask you, do you believe God this morning? You trust him? If you do, that promise applies to you directly. We don't say, oh yeah, God is generally faithful to the Jews, so he probably is faithful to me. No, that's to you if you are by faith a child of Abraham. It's amazing. We are the true Israel who have faith in Christ. In Romans 2:28, Paul even goes further. He says, one who is only a Jew by birth isn't even a Jew at all in the saving sense. A true Jew or a true offspring of Abraham are offspring inwardly by circumcision of the heart, not of the flesh. And so if you believe in God, all the promises of Scripture from first to last are your promises. We need to rejoice in this as we read our Old Testament. Like, this isn't for me. It is for you. It's for you. The first promise that's for you is Genesis 3:15. God says the seed of the serpent is going to, or the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the seed of the serpent. That is a promise that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Evil will be defeated. The last promise of the Bible is Revelation 22, verse 20. Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. And every promise in between, from Genesis to Revelation, if you are a child of Abraham by faith, belongs to you. If you're a child of Abraham, they belong to you. If you're not a child of Abraham, none of them belong to you. And so the question this morning is, are you a child of Abraham? We need to know this when we read our Bibles. And you don't find the answer by looking back to a genetic heritage, but saying, do I believe in God? Do I believe the same gospel that Abraham believed so many years ago? We become children of Abraham by faith, not by works of the law. We sing that silly song. Don't we? Kids often sing it. Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. It's a good song to sing if you're a Christian. Maybe don't force your little children to sing it if they're not yet Christians. But now, secondly, we also receive the blessing of Abraham by faith and not by works of the law. So we're sons of Abraham by faith, and also we receive the blessing by faith. Let's read verses 8 and 9 again. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, just as an aside, I want you to notice how Paul understands what Scripture is. Scripture means writing, right? Written down words. And he says, Scripture preached the gospel beforehand, which said, in you shall all the nations be blessed. He's quoting from the written word of God, Genesis 12, verse 3. And Genesis 12, verse 1 says, now the Lord said to Abram. So the Lord said to Abram, and Paul says, Scripture says. We can't hold the words of God spoken and the written words of God in contrast to one another. We need to be reminded of this, I think. We must not try to create a division there, because Paul doesn't. If Scripture says it, God says it. And they use the present tense there intentionally. God says it if it's written in Scripture. There's a beautiful verse in Hebrews 3:7. You don't have to turn there. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, and then he quotes Psalm 95. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying, God didn't just say that once in Psalm 95, however long ago that was. He says, he's saying this today to you, church. When you read it, he's saying it, present tense. That's just marvelous. So when we read the Bible together, or when you read the Bible at home, God is speaking to you. They say if you want to hear the voice of God, read your Bible. If you want to hear the voice of God out loud, read the Bible aloud. It's good advice. But we need to move on. Now, in Genesis 12, God called Abraham. He promised through him would all the nations be blessed. So God is going to bless all the nations, not just the physical descendants of Abraham. Paul says that the central core of that blessing is going to be justification by faith. It's not what he says. God, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel before unto Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So the blessing is justification by faith for all nations. The nations will be reconciled with God by faith. That's the blessing promised to Abraham. That's the proclamation of the gospel beforehand. And so notice also that the blessing to Abraham and the gospel are both defined centrally by justification by faith. It's the center of the gospel message. It's the gospel that was preached. And so the gospel is not the good news that Jesus can help you be your best and hopefully you'll make it. It's the good news. It's not the good news that you just follow some steps and you'll find spiritual awakening. It's the good news that we can be reconciled to God through faith in Christ. It's the news that says when we are sinners, God in his love sent Christ to earth. He became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. Even when we were hostile toward him, we were against him, we were ungodly in every way, we were going our own way like sheep who've gone astray. He sent Jesus, his son, to take on flesh, to live the life that we should have lived, a life of perfect faithfulness, perfect trust in the Father, perfect obedience. And he died on a cross that was our cross. We were the criminals that should have died on the cross. He took our sin on himself, but he triumphed over sin and death, and he was raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven over all creation, where he reigns as the God-man, the first fruits of the new creation, and he intercedes as a faithful high priest before the throne of God. One day he's going to come back. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Those who have longed for his coming will live in life forever with him. Those who have rejected him and despised him will receive eternal death away from the blessing of God forever. This is the message of the Bible. This is the gospel. And it's an announcement to be believed. It is not a law to be kept. It's not a law to be kept. It's an announcement. Believe this. This is how we're reconciled with God, by believing the words of God. Trusting in him. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile or a Mennonite or a Hutterite or a black or white or male or female or liberal or conservative. Those who believe are the sons of God by faith. That's the gospel. This is the blessing of Abraham. This is the message that runs through the Bible. And so Paul closes his argument from Abraham in this section, verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham was fundamentally a man of faith. He was obedient, but his obedience was built on a foundation of faith. Romans 14:23 says, whatever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. We can do all the works we want to do. If they're not the fruit of faith, they're sin. The flip side is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Want to work your way to God without faith? You can't. It's not pleasing to him. Believe God. Faith is our chief calling. Now that in no way minimizes our need for unceasing pursuit of holiness. We are to strive, let's work, strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. No holiness, no heaven. Romans 8:13. If you live by the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, you kill the deeds of the body, you will live. That's the fight, but that's fundamentally a fight of faith. It's a fight to believe the promises of God. That's at the center of our fight for holiness. All who believe God receive the blessing of Abraham, which is to be accepted in the sight of God. Now this is a call to mission, isn't it? It's for all nations. The blessing of Abraham is for every tribe, tongue, and nation and language. How will the blessing come to all these nations and people? Well, they must receive the promises of God by faith. That's what we've seen here. And how are they going to receive promises that they haven't heard? That's where we come in. Nobody is going to be blessed with the blessing of Abraham unless they've heard the promises of God, unless they've heard the gospel. And so our job is to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to tell our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the world around us, Christ died to save sinners. Because the world is full of people who don't understand the blessing of Abraham. It's full of people like these Judaizers that are attacking the Galatian church. They believe salvation comes from doing works, from doing the right things, from trying to match up with some kind of righteousness that we have for ourselves. They don't understand that behind the good commandments of God, and we're going to get to those commandments later in Galatians, but behind that is a good God who doesn't say, do your best and we'll see. But instead, he comes to us in our hopelessness and our worst and says, I will receive you in my Son. I will receive you in Christ. People don't know that message. You need to understand that. I've talked to people who grew up in some kind of church. I put it in quotes because when I tell them about this, that we're accepted because of Christ's righteousness, not our own, they tell me, I've never heard that. Well, that's the message of the Bible. That's the gospel message. And this righteousness by the law is going to creep into every church and every generation unless we join Paul in saying, what does the Bible say? What does the story of Abraham really teach us about how we are right with God? Is it by circumcision in Genesis 17? No, it's Genesis 15. Abraham believed God has counted him as righteousness. God said that Abraham, the forefather of our faith, was justified not by works of the law, but because he believed God. And that's the message we must continue to hold in front of our own eyes and in front of the world, and that God would use the proclamation of that to save many. This is our calling. I don't know if you know, but Grace Rueckert went to the hospital this week. Tiredness, mostly, kind of stressed out, worn out. She was doing well the last time I saw her there, but she'd gone in on a Wednesday morning, and by Thursday night, she was out of gospel tracts in the hospital. She had warned several medical staff that when they die, it's heaven or hell, and so they need to be right with Jesus. One had declined the tract, and he said, oh, I can't take that because that's personal, and she said, you bet it is. This is personal. And I was convicted because if Grace uses hospitalization due to tiredness and exhaustion and stress to bring the message of justification by faith to the people in the hospital, how much more should I do this, who have full mobility and full health? At the center of the Bible is this message. It's a simple message. Anybody, any background, no matter how sinful you are, no matter how pharisaical you were, self-righteous you were, can be reconciled to God through faith in the Christ who died for sinners. That's the message of the Bible. It's so simple and so precious. It's not legalism in the Old Testament and grace in the New Testament. So someone comes to you and says, oh, the Old Testament, that was a law-based religion. You have to do the law, and if you don't do the law, you'll be punished. It had nothing to do with faith like it does now. Now you're armed. Go and say, not Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's always been by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. So let's remember it, let's meditate on it, let's believe it, and let's spread this for the glory of God who justifies the ungodly in His grace.